Devil on the block there, God, Lord, and Lord, service went good and everything, but at the end of it, they played a certain song. But then we went to the reception. You couldn't believe the music, and the minister was a DJ. The minister that did the wedding, and playing all kind of ungodly stuff, and we were just like, God have mercy. You're blessed people when you see that, you know, what we've seen and what we know. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that song, Take Up Your Cross and Follow Jesus. Amen. How many want to take up your cross from whatever would be in your life? Amen.
Just take up your cross and follow Jesus. Oh, take up your cross and every day. And don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Count the cost, just take up your cross and follow Him.
Sing that again.
We'll just take up your cross, just take up your cross and follow Jesus.
Take it up.
Oh,
done. No more clouds, just all sunshine. Amen. Amen. But right now, we'll fight till that day comes. Amen.
Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. And all the land of
to come out. Amen. How many are expecting for the word? How many know they have that victory through the blood of Jesus Christ, that shed blood, that we can have the victory? Amen. Amen.
Well, victory is mine. Victory is mine.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. The word is ours today, Lord. The Holy Ghost is ours today, Lord, because you promised it. Hallelujah. Amen. Good to be in the house of God today. You may be seated just for a moment here. Good to see everyone able to press out this morning. Amen. To the house of God. I believe we're already seated in heavenly places. We've come to enjoy the Word of God, enjoy one another, enjoy the presence of the Spirit. And it truly is an honor to be a Christian today. Amen. By the grace of God, we would like to say say thank you to all that were able to help out with the little memorial service yesterday. I believe it was a blessing. It was our church's first time doing it. There's probably many ways to make it better, but by the grace of God, we did the best we could with what we had. And by the grace of God, maybe next time, hopefully there won't be a next time we have to do a funeral, but by the grace of God, we want to just really do all we can, amen, to support everyone, amen. So we appreciate all that we're able to help there, and we also appreciate everyone sent me some birthday wishes yesterday, and appreciate that. And got some over the text. I got happy birthday sung here. Special thanks to the Cobb family, amen. They made me a cake and got me a little pitcher. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Amen. And it was even King James. That's pretty special. So God bless them. And I told him yesterday, maybe a little bit joking, but I said because of you two, I said I can accredit to you my first wedding and my first funeral. So they're just working me right into it. So we appreciate that. And by the grace of God, it sure is a blessing to have them here. Amen. Maybe we'll sing one song, and then we'll get right into the Word of God. Just love the Word of God. Kind of love what God has kind of brought to the mind today. He has a way about Himself that God just continually opens His Word. Amen. And He loves His children, and He wants to make sure that His children are fed. Amen. So the Holy Ghost has a way to get His sheep in the right pasture and just to get them feeding there and to give them strength through the Word. Amen. So by the grace of God, maybe we'll just sing a song and then we'll get right into the Word. Let's sing that song if we could. The Blood Veiled. Amen. Sin is a captive, it binds and it holds. Satan will try to abolish your soul. There's only one way to your victory. That one hope is found when you're down on your knees. Oh, when I knelt, oh, the blood veiled. Oh, sin had lost the battle. Oh, resurrection. Oh, Jesus went to the throne, presenting his sacrifice to our God alone. Oh, he said, Father,
oh, I love it.
It is finished. Well, I can hear all heaven sing. Oh, glory. Said to the one, where are your sins? Where are thine accusers? She said, I have none. Sin lost the battle with Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's move right into the word now. Thank you, Lord. What can't the blood of Jesus Christ cover? Let's open up our Bibles, continuing with Wednesday. We might just do a little bit of recapping, and then we'll get right to where we want to go. I know we have two services today. Might just have to finish this in the second service. We'll see how God allows that to come forth. I might just skip some stuff and maybe bring it tonight, but we'll see. Let's open first to Deuteronomy 24, verse 8. After that, we're going to go to Matthew 8:1. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 24, verse 8. It says here, take heed in the plague of leprosy. That thou observe diligently and do according to all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you. And as I commanded them, so ye shall observe to do. Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam by the way. After that, you were come forth out of Egypt. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 8:1. Matthew 8:1. It says here, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Just one small fraction of time, and a man cried out to the word. And the scripture says, immediately. Immediately, leprosy left. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Oh God, as we soberly come before you, Lord, God, when I sing that song, Lord, and when I believe the church sings that song, Lord, I don't know, oh God, so much as for everyone, Lord, but I know what it does to me, God. Oh God, and that precious sacrifice that you did for us, we have communion today, God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, let us be in the right spirit, in the right heart, and be in the right atmosphere, Lord, that the Spirit of God can move amongst us today, God. I pray, God, that, Lord, you'd smite sin from the doors of this church, God, from within, from without. God, may, oh God, we be able to freely go into the presence of God. Lord, I'm a man unclean, God, but Lord, one day, Lord, you come by my way, Lord, and there's an immediate satisfaction that come from the leprosy, God. I pray tonight, or this morning, Lord, rather, Lord, you just come and be with your church, God. We have need of you. We don't deserve you. We can't say, Lord, that, Lord, we don't have need of you, Lord, because if anything in this world, you're the only thing we need. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, work in our lives today, work in our hearts. And God, continue, Lord, to bring revelation to this church, Lord. We have a mission and a duty to fulfill. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the bride says, amen. You may be seated. If we had a title for this morning's service, it'd be a continuation of what we started on Wednesday. It would be Identified Leprosy Cleansed. And by the grace of God, we probably won't get so much into the identification, but we will be getting into the cleansing this morning. Amen. So we invite all to come to communion service this evening. Hear the word once again, and then we'll enjoy that fellowship with the Lord as well as with one another. So now, if we had the opportunity to do it, we'd like to move into the Word of God and perhaps just recap a few things if we could. We went through Wednesday, we started working with leprosy. And of course, leprosy is a disease. And in the Old Testament, when they were not up to the medicinal places that we are today, it was quite often incurable. It's quite often a killer to man without the proper healing that would come forth from medicine or from God. Amen. But by the grace of God, we'll just move into this again very quickly, and we'll try to get this thought around very fast. And then we'll go to where we feel led to go this morning, should the Lord take us there. But we understand that in the Old Testament, we find that leprosy is actually a disease which shows up on the outside. And yet, it actually can move from the inside out, so to say, and it can move deep within the skin on the way out. We won't get into that tremendously, but we'll just read the definition again. And according to Webster's 1828, it is a foul cutaneous disease, appearing in dry, white, thin, scurfy scabs, attended with violent itching. It sometimes covers the whole body, rarely the face. And if we had a chance to perhaps move into, I believe it was Wikipedia where I got this, it says that it makes you lose the ability to feel pain. And it can allow you to lose limbs, and in its greatest stages can bring you to death. So here we have leprosy written many times about in the Scripture. Before the times of Christ, it could have been a very painful yet lethal disease that would cause a lot of issues to man. Amen? But yet we realize through this message of this hour, we've been given a greater sense. And actually, I found even this morning when I was searching that even the commentators were saying that leprosy was a type of sin. If you remember where we had went on Wednesday, we went and showed you that due to people's actions, we find those sinful actions, God would in turn bring leprosy upon the sinner, right? And many times, God, because of that one choice they made, God would allow them to in turn be under leprosy their whole lives, right? In example, we have Uzziah, we have Gehazi, we have Joab's descendants. But yet there's our smaller, there's another example where we have Miriam. And by the grace of God, we realize that God cured Miriam's leprosy because Moses and Aaron cried out. Amen? And as I was thinking about this, we even realized that when you look at Moses, Moses had married a Gentile woman, an Ethiopian. And by, of course, the design of it, it was actually Miriam and Aaron that were crying out against Moses because he married a Gentile. Amen? Which you can start to look at the Gentile church and you can start to see that it was God's design for Moses to perfectly fulfill the intercession that Jesus Christ put out. Amen? But not to dwell on this tremendously this morning, but I would like to rehash, as I've been starting to do that here, that leprosy is a type of sin. Leprosy is something that would come all over you, and of course, it would be seen from the outside quite a bit. Amen? But yet, in its fulfillment in the Old Testament, it was always on the outside. But when we find the New Testament, Jesus looked beyond the outside and actually looked on the inside. And yet he could say that they were white from the outside, but from the inside they were full of dead man's bones, as far as they had taken on an inner disease, right? And we realize that by the Scripture, we realize that God, in His desire, it was to cleanse leprosy. Amen. Now, that's getting on our point here this morning. But I want to perhaps rehash a quote, and then we'll go right to where we need to go. In Influence 63, paragraph 92, it says, "Now you say, well, what do you mean? Leprosy represents, is a type, rather, of sin. And when a man won't stand correction by the Word of God, he is full of leprosy. He blows up and carries on. What do you do? You ruin your influence. See, something happens. People knows and can tell the word that you're corrected by, that you're not going to do it. Therefore, you ruin your influence." Now, by the grace of God, we see here the prophet says that sin is a type of leprosy. But notice, because we've moved into the New Testament, because we've moved into the fullness of time here, the prophet actually moves into leprosy, showing that leprosy is a type of an individual not standing by the Word of God. Amen. So notice, this is why this comes home. This is why this comes to the body of Christ. Because if we look at the body of Christ, we understand that we as Christians, we can allow the Word of God to come up to us. And in rejecting the word, just like Gehazi, just like we see that Naaman almost did.
Amen.
Just like we've seen Uzziah do. We see that because they refuse the correction of the word, we can see that God would smite them with leprosy. And leprosy being a type of sin, it shows that many Christians today can be afflicted with the disease of sin upon their lives. And just like natural leprosy, you could perhaps see the effects of it. God, why are all these bad things happening? But yet, in all honesty, if you can't see the Word, then you'll remain in a condition where you'll not be able to see what the sin is causing. So notice, if we could, we want to work with this just for a moment here, because I want us to understand that even I, as a preacher, even you as a congregation, in order for us to be in one accord, we have to have leprosy cast out of this church. Amen. For us, for you and I, on an individual level, we have to understand that leprosy cannot be in our individual walk with God. Amen. Insomuch is the fact that that is our main hang-up. Our main hang-up is that to us, God is not important enough. God is not, let's say God is perhaps trivial to us instead of being everything to us. Amen. And we find ourselves not accepting the Word that God would preach to us, not just from a preacher, but by the Word of God, by the conviction of the Spirit every day. And because we don't accept that, our lives live powerless and formal. What is it? It's leprosy. But notice here, so in the New Testament, God wouldn't necessarily smite us with a natural leprosy that hangs out upon the skin and shows itself white and all these scaly and all these other characteristics. But God would actually allow us to be caught in a snare that we would see things that aren't going right, but we wouldn't be able to discern the Word of God trying to bring correction to us. So notice here, as we get into this, we realize in Romans 5:12 it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, even so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." We were all born in sin. We were all shapen in iniquity. We come forth speaking lies. I've done a couple in my day. I'm sure you have too. But yet we realize that it was God putting you into a condition that in this hour would be revealed to you in a spiritual way so that you could see for your sin there was a cure. And God, when He cured you, you could be clean all the whit. So notice, if we could, 1 Corinthians 5:6. Notice this on church level. 1 Corinthians is a correction level, as far as a church correction level. It says, "Your glorying is not good. Remember, the man had married his father's wife, or had been living with her, however you'd like to say it. And it says, 'Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?'" So notice that just a little bit of sin, when it comes, remember this is a church level, that when it comes into the church, it will contaminate the whole church. It will leaven the whole lump. Now notice, remember, leaven is an additive that you put in bread to make it rise. Amen. Now not fully getting into conditions, but we understand that one of the greatest signs of leprosy would be a rising of the sin. Or rising of the skin, excuse me. Sin and skin sure are easy to say because they're awful alike. Amen. But notice here it says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump." as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So how do we get rid of leaven? The leaven of malice, wickedness, is you have to get rid of that sin and replace that sin with sincerity and truth. Hallelujah. So notice here, on a church level, for this body to be functional, I'm preaching to everyone, even myself, that we have to be in one accord. We have to be in a place that sin does not have a contamination at any source. But the whole lump or the whole body stands together, united, agreed. And being agreed, it brings forth the unleavened bread Himself. Amen. So notice, leaven, a type of leprosy. Just like leprosy, it comes upon the body in a small way. And then it works to the whole. Amen. Same thing with leaven and the lump. Amen. Just a little bit. Hallelujah. You ever notice you put a lot of leaven in that loaf, it's going to rise. It's really going to rise. Notice in Galatians 5, verse 7. Says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So now we see on a church level, and we find it on an individual level, but we can become caught in the leaven or the sin of leprosy, amen, on a spiritual place, and we have to guard at all times to make sure that this does not come upon us. I know any time a preacher preaches about sin, we get quiet. But yet, isn't our desire in this church to be personally free and to be as a body free? Amen. We want people to come into this church and the Spirit of God is so free and He can only move freely when there's a church without leaven. He can only work. Don't act like I'm preaching something new. I've been preaching unity for 4 years now. Hallelujah! My vision hasn't changed. When I look at Pentecost, I see Living Waters Tabernacle. And I'm going to preach it until I see it. Amen! Because we have a mission. We have a desire. And that desire is to show the fullness of Christ to this generation. Is that right? Praise God. So now, notice here, if we could, I'd like to move into this thought. In Romans 6, verse 6, perhaps I'll start skipping some because it's already 11:30. But I've only been preaching for 17 minutes. I started late. But we see here in Romans 6, 6, it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. Where's your identification? Your old man has to be crucified with Him. Your old man cannot be crucified with yourself, by yourself. Amen. The only way you can live the resurrection that Christ lived is to be resurrected with Him. Amen. Notice it says, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. What is the purpose of Christ in your life? So simple. So easily stated. The purpose of Jesus Christ is that you could be freed from sin. But there's only one way to be free. And that's to be crucified with Him. That's deep, brother. That's deep. So notice now, if we could, we understand that it was God's desire in bringing forth leprosy in the Scripture to show you ultimately that His design in allowing leprosy to come forth as a disease is to show you that the disease of sin should be cleansed. Is that right? We understand in the type that was preached on Wednesday that God allowed a bird to be killed and the blood to be put on the other bird and the other bird to be set free. Amen. So when Christ died, His blood would be placed upon the believer and the believer would be free. Amen. Now notice here, if we could, we see in Luke 4:27, it says, and many lepers, I hear you turning. Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. All those lepers in those days of the prophet, and only one was cleansed. Who was it? It was the Gentile. It was God's design to heal the Gentile. Now notice here, we have also, through the Scripture, I'd like us to see Luke 17, verse 12. It says, and as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said to them, go, shew yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Notice, of all those 10 lepers that were healed, there's only one that turned back. And he cried out with a loud voice and gave worship to the one that had healed him. Notice, 16th verse. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He wasn't a Jew. He's a Gentile. And he says, Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. So in the Old Testament, God could only bring praise to Himself by the healing of one Gentile. And so when Christ came, 10 lepers cried out. 10 lepers released faith on the Lord. And many were healed. but yet only one had gratitude in the Word. Only one rejoiced in the Word coming. All the rest of them just went to the priesthood. But one was interested in the Word. One realized that his cleansing was from the Word person himself. And it was the Gentile. So notice, he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Here they were. And the one that truly receives the Word is the stranger. He received his cleansing that day. Christ said, thy faith hath made thee whole. So there is a complete cleansing for this Gentile. Naaman, a complete cleansing. Naaman didn't run to the priesthood. He ran back to the prophet. Gave his thanksgiving because the Word was in that prophet. So we see that it was God's design to heal the Gentile to the utmost of his leprosy. Now, notice this, if we could. I want us to see that sin is a wicked thing. But God, in His whole purpose, His whole design, and I'm going to try to close with this, but I want you to know it ain't going to be a 3-minute thing. But it was God's design to always free His people from leprosy. It was always God's design to free His people from the consciousness of sin. That His blood would be so perfect that it would cover that sin. Not just a little bit, but it would cover it all the way. There would be a full cleansing of that sin. Now notice, as we begin to go in a different direction, we see in Exodus 3:1, if you'd like to travel there with me, in Exodus 3:1, it says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. And he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. Brother, what does this have to do with leprosy? I'm coming. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. We'll stop right there. Notice here we're looking at Moses. Moses was a great man of God. Moses lived a lot of characteristics that we could easily type him with Christ. But I'd like to look at this in a direction this morning. And I want you to see that here Moses is. Moses, God ordained him to be a shepherd. When Moses was in Egypt, God's purpose of Moses being in Egypt was not to find the complacency of shepherding that Egypt would teach him. Although he was put right in the place to lead the people of Egypt, it was not the type of lessons to lead God's people that God was interested in. No, or Moses perceived in Egypt that he was different from Egypt. He seen that he was made to deliver Israel. He was made to bring freedom, if I could say it, to Egypt as far as bringing Israel out of Egypt. But we realize that he didn't have the correct thought of shepherding. So God had to allow Moses to be turned aside into the wilderness. And out in the wilderness would he live out the truth of God's teaching of shepherding. Now you really lost me, brother. Praise God. Now notice, here it was. God ordained a goodly child. God, looking at Moses, said, here he is. I could glorify myself by putting him in the king's chamber, Pharaoh's chamber, and bring him up to lead Israel out that way. But it wasn't God's design. God had a greater way to lead His sheep out. He put Moses out in the wilderness where he had to lose all the thoughts of what being a leader of people would be. And God directs him to Jethro, a man with a great flock. Am I going too slow for you today? Do I need to pick up the pace? But out there, he finds himself in Jethro's hands. Marries Jethro's Gentile daughter. And here, we realize that now Moses sits on the backside of the desert for 40 years tending sheep. Watching the nature of sheep. Seeing how they carry themselves. Seeing how they depend upon Him to lead them. He was instilling in Moses the ability to shepherd His children. He was giving him the truth because there's no better way to learn the nature of God's people than to see the nature of sheep. Amen. So God calls to Moses, this prophet. And here on the backside of the desert, He calls him all by Himself. Then call him and his wife up. It wasn't his and his wife's job. It was His job. But here, God calls him up. I know. I told you it wouldn't be 3 minutes. And we find that here He calls him up, and God calls into His presence this prophet, shepherd. Okay? Now, notice here, His design in calling this prophet, shepherd, was to lead His people out of Egypt. Or to bring His people out of the effects of Egypt. Now, let's look. In the Scripture, in Exodus 4:1, God tells Moses, go down to Egypt and deliver my people. In the first verse it says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, neither hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe the Lord, that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee." So notice God, the first thing God does with this prophet shepherd is Moses cries out, "How can I deliver the people? How will they believe me?" And God, in His foreshadowing, He says, "What do you have in your hand?" And He says, "I have a rod." Here He is holding a rod in His hand. And God says, "Cast it to the ground." So take the rod from your body, from your hand, and throw it down to the earth. And when he threw it down to the earth, it became a serpent. Isaiah 11:1, it says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of the eyes of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears." So notice here, in type now, we see that Moses, a type of Jehovah himself, he takes the rod, he takes Jesus Christ, and throws him on the ground. Amen. And when he threw him to the earth, he became a serpent. He lived perfectly righteous. But notice, his mission was to become sin. So here, we see he pulled him forth from Jehovah and put him forth out of the ground. Do you realize what we're trying to say here? How God ties in so perfectly the work of redemption that you don't have a reason to doubt. Because God kept their minds blind to it the whole time. But in this hour, He revealed it to you so you would see redemption in every corner, so you would have no reason to not move in faith by this word. So realize, this snake here, this serpent, was cast to the ground. God said Moses was afraid of it. He said, "What do I do?" God said, "Just grab it by the tail." And when he grabbed it by the tail, or the end of the beast, it became a rod again. The rod is a type of the name of Jesus Christ to the believer. But notice, when God first allowed it to come forth, we only see it one time by the Scripture. It turned into a serpent, but yet its purpose was to eat up all the serpents. so that in Him He would take in all the sin of man. And all of it would be ingested in Him. Which is what Jesus Christ did for you. He became your sin. He ate up every sin you could possess. There's no sin too great for the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're willing to give it up. So notice here, typing Christ perfect. And God didn't just give him one sign. Oh boy. Everybody's looking really bored, really tired. Hold on. And notice, sixth verse, and the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. So here, we see in this sign, the first sign, that God said, out of Jesse will come a rod. But when he come out of the lineage of David, we understand they rejected him. But God gave him a second sign to the people. And we see under this second sign that God anointed that Moses in bringing his people out of Egypt, that he would have a different type of sign. And God said, put thy hand into thy bosom. We see here in John 1:18, it says, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared Him. Amen. Amen. So here, remember, God has Moses put His hand in His bosom. And here, we see by the Scripture that Christ was in the bosom of the Father. Amen. Now notice, in John 16:28, Jesus says, I came forth from the Father and come into the world. So now, He's saying, I was in the bosom of the Father, but now I come out. He says, again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Do you realize that when God came to Israel, He brought the full sign of Moses? He didn't hold back one punch. He brought the same sign that God gave to Moses, and He brought it in the form of the Messiah, and He told them that it was the sign. Oh, hallelujah. Don't get you mad at me because I say you're bored. We need to be excited in the house of God. You say, Brother Cam, you need to preach harder. Then bring some Holy Ghost in here yourself. You create the atmosphere. You make known God in this flesh. It's your ability that makes miracles come forth, that makes people see Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How can the Word of God stimulate us? John 16. He says, a little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while, and ye shall not see me? And again, a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father. Amen. So notice here, when God had Moses put his hand in his bosom, he was performing the Mosaic sign. Amen. And when Christ came, he was showing he was the fulfillment of that. But notice, when Moses was there, God said, put your hand to your bosom. And out of his bosom was shown leprosy. Amen. When he brought forth Christ the first time, he was sin to the people. His whole manner was to take man's sin from before him, from amongst him, and from you this hour was to take that sin. But God, do you realize that the Scripture said in Exodus 4:6, it said, and the Lord said, put thy hand down to the bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, his hand was leprous as snow. Do you realize that's the final stages of leprosy? It is when leprosy is in its full condition. So God put Moses with the full condition of sin. Not a half case for just somebody, but he gave him the worst case that you could have right on his hand. Do you realize it was right on his hand? Notice this. Why it had to be shepherds, 171. He says, watch, put thy hand in thy bosom, but watch this second sign with a voice, not with a voice. The sign had a voice. So notice, it says, we have no reason to believe that Moses was left-handed. So he must have put his right hand into his bosom. Because most men are right-handed. He put his right hand. Now watch, what a picture we see here of Jehovah and Moses, the shepherd prophet. Moses representing God, because God was in Moses. Watch him, hand in thy bosom, what a sign. Now, there he stands holding his right hand over his heart, where the hidden secrets of redemption had been hid since the foundation of the world. So when God brought Christ forth, what was he doing? He was releasing the full mystery of the Word Himself. So what was it, Christ? Remember, God was opening the Word right there. And that Word would have to continually unfold itself until the Gentile dispensation had been fulfilled. He was releasing not just a lamb to die for sins, but He was releasing redemption and everything that comes with redemption. Why do you think they could go to the upper room? Because redemption was a person, and redemption was what? Revealing Himself. Oh, hallelujah. And you're sitting in the fulfillment of it with what? With the Lamb taking the book and releasing these mysteries. You are living in an hour where leprosy is to be conquered. Why do you think in 1 Corinthians 51 through 53, where it says that grave, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? Don't you realize the power of death and the grave is sin? A rapture means that a people have come to the fullness of the Logos made flesh. So here, the hidden secrets of redemption were released with God anointing Moses in type. Put your hand to your chest. Put it to your heart. The heart of God released. You're dealing with the heart of God today, church. This ain't just a service. You're dealing with the heart of God. So notice here, he said, here's why shepherds, Jesus is God's right hand. We all know there's Moses portraying Him exactly. He held the secrets of the Father and has showed them to us. Notice, watch Him pull from His bosom His right hand, smitten with deadly leprosy. Showed what God would do with His right hand. Notice, leprosy has no cure. Notice again, it wasn't just common leprosy. It was in its last stage, white as snow. His hand was smitten with a horrible thing. How Moses must have felt when he pulled his right hand from over his heart, out of his bosom, and his hand was smitten with leprosy. How do you think God felt when He had to turn away and allow Himself to be killed for your sake? When He had to take the bullet for you? It's hard enough for us to take the sin of ourselves, lest someone else. And look, here we see how much of God felt. We're talking about communion today, aren't we? How are you feeling now that this blood has come to you? What will you do with this Christ? Notice the Scripture. Psalms 20, verse 6, it says, "Now know I that the Lord saveth His anointed. He will hear him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand." Amen. Saving strength of His right hand? Amen. Amen. Right. Psalms 48:10. "According to Thy name, O God, so is Thy praise in the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness." Amen. "Let Mount Zion rejoice." Oh, if we could just get Zion to rejoice a little bit today. "Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments." He settled the score for you. He made a way for you. You don't have to sit here and accept the condition of sin because He becomes sin so you would not know it. Now, Matthew 26, 64. He tells them, and Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power. Right then? Hereafter. Why? Because Moses in type was showing that he would first have to take on the fullness of leprosy in the right hand. But notice, the hand, the right hand being leprosy, did not stop it from transforming into something else. So he says, yep, after this death, you'll see me sitting on the right hand of power. First sin, then power. Where's God manifested in your life? We like to leave Christ as leprosy. We don't understand that He's supposed to be power. We limit God, say, oh, well, you know, I'm down here on earth. But God is supposed to be power. Mark 12:36. Says, for David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. So notice, the enemies had to become a footstool. Your prophet identified that Moses was right-handed. The right hand went to the bosom. So God released the right hand, everything, the heart of God, to become sin for man. And now, we see he had to sit on the right hand to bring forth this God we're looking at. Romans 8:34. Romans 8:34 says, who is he that condemneth? Who is he that condemneth? That's a good start. Where is your condemnation? If you are in Christ, behold, all things are new. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So Christ dying didn't do away with the fact that He was the right hand. But the fullness of God died as your sin so He could be the fullness of the right hand to you afterwards. Notice, as we look in the Scripture, in John 20, verse 16. It says, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, For I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Notice that Mary wanted to touch the Word. But the Word could not be touched yet because it had not brought the sacrifice yet to the Father. Oh, how she wanted to touch that Word. But she could not do it yet. Yes, He is resurrected. Yes, He paid the price. But the sacrifice had to be placed upon the mercy seat in heaven. The right hand could not yet touch those feelings of infirmity on the level He was made to do it. So what? He had to become fully the leprosy, but then He had to ascend to the bosom of the Father. So God, in typing Moses, He said, put forth your hand, and He brought out Jesus Christ. Leprosy, sin to the world. And Moses got scared. Oh no. What's this? And God said, now notice very quickly. When God had Moses bring His hand back to His bosom, He brought forth His hand again. And there wasn't a spot of leprosy on the hand. The leprosy was immediately gone. Sin was immediately conquered. That's why He could come back and give them whatever they desired. Because He was. He just didn't go back to the Father, but He come right back to them after applying the sacrifice. Amen. And here she's wanting to touch Him. She couldn't touch Him. Now, realize this. Moses went there alone to the mountain. Mary couldn't touch Him because it was His work alone. Hallelujah. Let me say this differently. When Moses went to the burning bush, God did not send Zipporah with Him. It was not Zipporah's work. It had to be done by the right hand Himself. Now, let's try to finish this off, if we could. See what I can get by here. Give me a second here. 177. Why it had to be shepherds. So notice it came quick and it left quick. No sooner the right hand was drawn from the bosom the second time, the deadly disease was gone. Sin was gone. 2,000 years ago, sin was gone. So all you have to do is believe the voice of the sign. Amen. Amen. Notice, and when the great shepherd, sheep prophet, when he said on Calvary's cross, when He had paid the penalty of sin for us all, He said, it's finished. Sin was over. The penalty was paid. Debts were settled. It didn't take a year or finally come into it in the days of some other reformer or something, it was finished right then. So what are you coming into? You want to make a rapture. Well, this is something new that God's doing. Christ is coming. Christ conquered it 2,000 years ago. What's going on is you're getting the revelation of it. The issue is the revelation of it. Oh, come on now. Don't you realize? Your prophet said, he said, if you are in one accord, he said, signs would be multiplied among you all the time. Oh, hallelujah. Yep. We got some problems, don't we? We better see what we're looking at. Because you're looking at a revelation today. You're looking at the Word today. You can spurn this Word. You can say, I don't agree with it. Every one of us. You can say, oh, I don't need to be in one accord. But if you want to fulfill the purpose of the right hand coming out again, because when it come out, it was whole. It was the voice of the sign the people needed to see to get the freedom to leave Egypt. Do you see that? You had to see the sign. The voice of the sign. The prophet of this hour revealed the voice of the sign to you. I didn't come up with this all by myself. I find it in the message. But don't you realize that God's trying to get you in position with the Word? He's showing you every little thing, just trying to get you to accept this Word. Now notice, if we could, as we close, you're just as free can be, if you only believe the voice of the sign. If you only cling to the voice of the sign. All sorts of people left Moses out of Egypt, but they all died along the way because they didn't catch the voice of the sign. Now, very quickly here. Do you realize that when God anointed Moses to do these things, He showed forth Christ perfectly to the people? Do you realize that when God come in this hour, He brought the same sign? He brought a prophet shepherd.
Amen. Come on. That's good.
That's why he always said, I was a pastor of Bram Tabernacle. He was a pastor of the whole sheep. Right. Moses was a pastor of the sheep.
That's right.
God let him do it naturally so he could do it spiritually.
Amen.
Right? And remember that Moses' purpose was not just to deliver the people, but it was to restore the Word to the people. So don't you see it, church, that God did that in Moses, but God did not stop short with the Gentile dispensation, but He would come in a day and show you that leprosy was still conquered. Do you believe? Do you see? Look at the gift that was brought to you. Oh, how do I know? When God gave Moses the sign, the voice of the sign could only express leprosy. But when this sign comes with the hand, it just couldn't raise faith for leprosy. It would touch every demon on the scope.
Amen.
Oh, we're going to get quiet now. Don't you see that when Moses come, it showed the sign of sin. But this one, it is a full deliverance. It takes everything away. But you have to believe the voice of the sign. This voice ain't one little thing as far as, oh, here we go. Sin's done away with. But this sign says death and hell are conquered. This sign says if you can believe that the mountain will move, it's going to move. Whatever unbelief is in front of you, it can go. Your return back to full dominion. Don't you see it? God gives you a progressive revelation of the same shepherd prophet that you had before. So you could look at this prophet. Oh, hallelujah. Been plenty carnal impersonations. But we see that God, the voice behind the sign, was not just some sort of a natural thing, but it was the revealing of the Word. I believe the voice because the voice revealed the Word. And don't you see it, church? The revealing of the Word, it brings you to a place that you shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Invincibility. And we're sitting here, God, if you could just take away my sin. Isn't that right? Do you realize divine healing cannot work on its scope? Mainly because we can't even see that we're free. So we're all the way back here in the Old Testament, still trying to cling on. Oh God, you did away with leprosy. You did away with sin. And the progression of this sign in your hour is you never did it in the first place. The price is paid. Redemption in its fullest stage. And here, God let you see it. Oh, leprosy. Oh, sinner. If I could just quit sinning. Since when is that your measuring stick? Your measuring stick is following the voice. Hallelujah! Yes, there is a true word preached! What can you do with the revelation of this word? To a seventh angel, it could discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. The voice of this sign was so great that no man was made to miss it. But the voice of unbelief is so great in this hour. It's coming down to a small elect. Oh, hallelujah, I believe living waters, tabernacle. Do you understand what my challenge is? My challenge isn't to rebuke you. My challenge is to conform you to the message of this hour. Hallelujah! We're still sitting there, oh, the leprosy, oh, the leprosy. Get the cure! His cure is to take the leprosy away, but it's to give you the right hand of God inside. of you. All that Christ was, He poured into the church. It puts the right hand inside of you. Oh, hallelujah. Am I saved? Hallelujah. I'm more than saved. I've seen the voice. I believe the voice. I see what God did through Moses. But I see in this hour that this voice, it speaks of greater things. Oh, hallelujah. We're sitting here back here looking at Enoch. Oh, if God only had three more scriptures, I could figure it out. Hallelujah! The right hand was revealed to Enoch. The power, the authority was revealed to Enoch. And he walked with it. And God, he was not. He was raptured. Let's stand. It's that simple this afternoon, church. It's that simple. You say, God, I ain't saying that we just let sin just take over our lives. But I'm saying, when do you put your revelation behind the Word? When do we get past Satan trying to put you at a place that you're still just the worst wicked sinner that there is? He become your sin back there. And he said, touch me not. But now he's saying, touch me. Right. No, Scripture says he feels he can touch the feelings of your infirmities. Right. Right. Amen. You got a God that wants to touch you. You got a God that wants to be at your right hand. Or to be your right hand, if I could say it. Purpose was, will you come out of Egypt? Come out of her, my people. It's that simple. Who's willing? I don't want to be a mixed multitude going out. I'll be one voice, one people, one power, a God moving on the scene. Your desire? Is that what you want? But if we could, maybe this afternoon, we could just take a little idea and say, God, can I lay once and for all in the fact that this atonement is settled? He's ever living to make intercession. I can't do a sin in the future that He can't cover. He died for my iniquity. Every stupid thing that I've done, I'm doing, and I'm going to do has been covered by that blood. I've accepted it. I go back to it if I lose my revelation of it. But someday that revelation has to stick. It can't be by a perfect life that you live. It can only be by a perfect sacrifice you've accepted. It's that simple this afternoon, church. Maybe we can take a step this morning saying, God, I felt leprosy spiritually moving upon me. Lord, it almost seems like it's trying to get me every day. But Lord, there was a cure for leprosy. You showed it to Israel in the coming of Jesus Christ and they rejected it. But God, here at your second coming, here now that the voice of the sign is shown forth again, Lord, this sign, this voice is none less than Jesus Christ. And I accept that this voice can take my sin away. I accept it now once and for all. He died once and for all for it. And I'll no longer live under a condemned state. a state that God isn't worthy. Because when we say that we're sinners, we're saying God ain't worthy. But when we look to Him and say, God, put it out, put that under Your blood, Lord, I love You, thank You. We're saying, God, the blood's still there. If you'd like to pray with me this morning, your desire has to be to see a right hand, to see God expressed in His fullness. And the only way we can get that to happen is if we come under the veil of this blood. If we get ourselves to a place, we believe the revelation of this word. We can see what God sent us in this hour, and we can accept it. If that's your heart's desire, would you pray with me now? Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, just perhaps, I don't know, Lord, just trying to get by ourselves today, God, and allow You to speak, Lord. And God, the revelation of this word is so clean, so perfect, God. And Lord, thank You, Lord, for sending a voice in this hour, Lord. And Lord, we believe, Lord, when I say that, I'm not talking about a voice 50 years ago, God. But we're talking about a voice that we can be compatible with right now. A voice that, Lord, can speak great things in our lives. And Lord, You know our problem, God, is a lot of times we condemn ourselves because of the sin of leprosy. Lord, we don't accept the Word, Lord. We don't live by the Word. We don't stand together. And Lord, today, as we come before You, Lord, we just ask, God, now, that, Lord, You'd bring us in one accord. You'd bring us to a saving revelation, God, a saving life change, that, Lord, we're free. That, God, the sins that we do, Lord, if we just stay in that communion with You, Lord, this flesh is going to just, it's going to overcome us here and there, and we're going to do bad things, God. But Lord, we want to hang on to the One who become our leprosy. Because if we can hang on to that leprosy, You'll never see our leprosy. It's our desire, Lord. I pray You give us strength today, Lord. Forgive us, oh God, for the lack of revelation we've expressed. Of the lack of desire, Lord, that we find ourselves being drawn to You, Lord. We want more, Lord. We want a greater walk, Lord. We want a desperation to unfold, Lord. Lord, I yield myself now, Lord. I ask You to forgive me, God, for living, God, under privilege, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that You just also work that in the hearts of Your children right now. God, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, God, that You'd fulfill this word in our lives, God. Work on our hearts. And God, bring such a heartfelt love for You, Lord. We can't get away from it. This day of communion, Lord. We just love You, God. And Lord, we thank You for that atonement, Lord. I just pray now You'd bring it fully upon us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we apply that token. We place it there, Lord. We want to live by this word, God. Help us, Lord. Heartily at this blood from here on out. song here comes, I will praise Him.
And I will praise Him.
We fall down, we lay our crown.